Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6. This just happens to be the next verse in this passage of Scripture. And because it is the next verse, that's why we have to preach it. I was kind of tempted to skip over this one. And a couple of reasons. One of them being that verse kind of was challenging my thinking. And I thought it'd be easier just to skip it over than to have to figure out what it's talking about. But I thought maybe somebody would notice. And probably the Lord too. And so we're going to look at this verse today. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Now, this verse requires that we have a familiarity with dogs and hogs. And he's using a truth of the natural life and applying it to the spiritual life. And it is interesting, it is in the context of chapter 7, in which he said, judge not that ye be not judged. And in a broad sense, the Jewish people were judging the Lord Jesus as a mere man. And from their twisted viewpoint, were rejecting him as who he was. We're not able to recognize who he was. And that kind of fits into this context, this great verse. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Now, I'm sorry for all you dog lovers. We have a wonderful dog, and I wouldn't sell him to you, even if you paid me $2,000, maybe $10,000. But I like pigs too. And if you buy your pork from the store, I feel sorry for you. Okay, but has nothing to do with loving these animals or not loving these animals. But, you know, dogs in the Bible represent something very specific. First of all, they represent, they are in the Old Testament unclean animals. They ate garbage. And pigs were unclean animals. And, you know, they were kind of garbage animals too. And we'll look at a few verses in the Bible about pigs. Dogs, excuse me. Revelation chapter 22. In chapter 22 and verse 15. I want to talk about the identity of the characters here. Verse 14. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without, outside the city, outside of heaven, for without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Without are dogs. Now, in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus uses the word dog to refer to Gentiles. Gentiles. And that was a description of the heathen around him. They had very little understanding of the things of God. Philippians chapter 2, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is talking about dogs. Again, it's a figure of speech. Takes me a while to turn there today. I'm a little bit worn out after this weekend. Philippians 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Now, what is the character of a dog? What is the character of a pig? Well, you know, if you would take your most valuable thing, well, let's put it this way. You know, we were at a wedding yesterday. You know, a pig, they are very undiscerning. They couldn't care if you gave them your wedding cake or if you gave them garbage. They wouldn't care. They would respond to both alike. We take all our scraps from canning, and and we take it, put it in a bucket, and we throw it out there. Oh man, they love it, you know. We go onto the apple trees and we find the bruised apples and the ones that have been eaten parts by the chickens and the ones that have wormholes in there, and you know. You take that bucket of apples and you dump it over in the pig pen. Oh, man, they love it. Man, they just love it. Oh, man. You know? And, you could take your diamond ring, ladies. And you could just throw it in there into the pig pen. And wouldn't mean anything to those pigs, would it? Not a thing, you know. They would treat it just like a rock, you know, a shiny rock or a piece of garbage or whatever. You know, pigs are indiscriminating. You know, you could take your, you know, I could take my most valuable suit coat and throw it into the pigs. And you know what? It wouldn't bother them. They would just take it and they would just, you know, maybe they would just grab a bite out of it. Maybe they would throw it in the manure, you know. They would drag it through the slop. It wouldn't make any difference to them at all. You know, just completely oblivious. Now it says, cast not, give not that which is holy unto dogs. We like our dog. But you know, once in a while, oh yeah, I know where we were talking to somebody. Who was it? Oh yeah, we were at Scott Hatchett's house. They have this sweet little dog. And I was thinking, you know what? I mean, they treat it like it owns the house, you know? And I says, you know what? I'd love to, I didn't say it this way, but you know, if they wouldn't be kissing that little doggy if that doggy was on our farm eating manure. You know, because that's what little doggies on a farm do. They go out there and you know, once in a while when we were farrowing pigs, we had some, you know, little baby pigs die, you know, mamas lay on them or they die or they're born dead or get dead because it gets cold. And you know, we just throw them on the manure pile. And you know, a dog just loves to go in that manure pile and find out, get that dead pig that's been kind of rotting for about 6 months. You know, they just love it, you know. And, you know, I've seen them take that dead carcass, you know, of that or a dead animal, and they'll just roll in it. Boy, they just love it. Oh, you know. And then that little doggy comes in. Just imagine that, Tina, bringing that little doggy coming in. And you giving that little doggy a little kiss. Oh, man. You know what? That's a dog. Sorry. I mean, you can put perfume on them and you can, you know, curl their hair or you can, whatever you have to do with that doggy, but you let that doggy go to our barn and to our farm and it will be a dog. Because that's their character. What about the character of a dog? Throw a pearl in there to the pigs. You know what? To a pig, it doesn't matter if it's worth $1 million or if it's worth 5 cents. They treat it alike. They have little sense. They have no sense, little sense of the holy. You know, take God's holy word and put it in a pig pen. No difference. No thought. The Lord here is certainly intimating from the context, here is the Son of God, Creator of the universe, holds every man's breath and keeps it going. By His power, by Him, all things consist, the Bible says. Here is the Holy One of God. And the priests, the high priests, mock Him and spit upon Him. And the soldiers slap His face. the religious leaders hit them and said, tell me who did it. They treated him like a criminal. They treated him less than you would even treat your own pet. And these were the leaders of the people. And so when Jesus says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, it kind of fits into the scheme of things of how wicked men, even religious men, but unsaved men, would treat the holy Son of God. No fear, no sense of indignity or dignity, no awe. Nothing. And Jesus says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Dogs represent the unsaved. Dogs represent those who have little sense of the sacred. They have a warped or a no value system. You know, we can thank God that America, at least especially the country parts of America, still have a sense of the fear of the Lord. You know, our political system would be completely different if the country folk could elect the officials. You just think about what goes on in our inner cities. Shootings, knifings. I was coming back on the way home from the wedding, we stopped at a gas station, and on the mirror is scratched, crack is king. What a twisted world. What a twisted world. You know, dogs represent low life. Low life. Dogs represent those who don't have a knowledge of the sacred. Dogs represent those who have no value system. Now let's think about that. What is he saying? What is he saying? He says, don't give something that is holy to people who have no sense of the sacred. Don't take that which is valuable and let those handle it that have no sense of value. You know, parents, you know what I mean. You can get upset when your child will take care of this rock that they found. But you just bought them a brand new suit, and they take it and they throw it in the corner. And you go like this. Yeah. Here is the Lord Jesus. He's certainly a different class of man, isn't he? He's the God-man. And how do they treat him? They treated him as a mere man. Here is the God-man robed in flesh. And they treated him as though he were a mere sinner, just like them. Here is the Eternal One. The one, when they came to take him, they said, "Are you Jesus of Nazareth?" And he said, "I am." And they fell over backwards. "Yeah, I'm the Eternal One." Can you imagine that? Coming to capture with swords and staves, like a common criminal, the Son of God. And so, I was thinking about this great truth. And thinking about how does this apply to us today. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter number 9. And we're going to see some, we're going to look at a few verses here that in some ways are the opposite to this. Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord. No, wait. Let's put the opposite. You know what? Some people don't have any fear of the Lord, do they? Not at all. You go to someone and say, "You know, you're going to die and you're going to go to hell." "Oh, I'm just going to go rot in the ground." I tell you what, that person missing something very vital in their soul. They represent that person that Jesus is talking about here. They're represented by that animal, the pig or the dog, who have no sense of the holy, of the sacred, of the eternal, of that which is really valuable. You know, the Bible gives us some warnings about dealing with people who have no sense of the fear of the Lord, or little sense of the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 25. Actually, Proverbs... let's see if that's really the verse I want to go. Proverbs 23:9. "Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words." Now, what is a fool? A fool is a person without wisdom. And he says, now don't go talk to a fool. Now don't go and try to give them wisdom. You know why? Because if you were giving them wisdom, they won't even know that it's wisdom. They can't discern between wisdom and foolishness. They count them on the same level of fool. doesn't know, have a value system that works. The precious word of God to them is nothing. But the wicked words of the world are everything to them. You know, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Notice what it says about the natural man, about the unsaved man. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now notice the contrast here. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Verse 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? It says because they are foolishness unto him. Because why? He cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. A natural man, he will not receive the precious, wonderful truth that God has revealed from heaven, the Bible. The Bible says it's foolishness. Here's the wisdom of Almighty God. And what do they think about it? Oh, that's foolishness. That's foolishness. That's more foolish than a comic strip. That's how they think. Now, it's interesting that we have the identity of dogs and pigs, garbage, animals, represent unsaved. Their character is that they have no sense of the sacred. They have no sense of that which is truly valuable. We have a command. Don't give that which is holy to dogs. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Then we have a warning. Lest they come back and trample you. So, how does this work? Now, first of all, we have to ask ourselves, what is your value system? Do you have a value system? Do you have the right value system? Or is everything just alike? Do you treat that which is earthly? Do you treat that which is heavenly and eternal the same way you treat that which is earthly and temporal? If you do, you're like a dog. That's not good. Now, obviously, there's varying degrees of that. But it's pretty serious. What about your discernment? And we'll get specific in a little bit. Maybe a broad application of that would be Do you get more out of reading the Reader's Digest than the Bible? Or do you enjoy reading the Reader's Digest? Was kind of, nobody reads that anymore. I don't know what people read anymore. But do you get more stirred up by reading some book than you do the Bible? Don't cast your pearls before swine. I have some application there, probably kind of the crux of the message here, because it's easy to know what it says. It's hard to, okay, say, how does this apply to life? This is a major issue today. Who should you entrust the Bible to? This is God's holy book. Who should we entrust it to? Making another easier thought is, you know that all the Christian, I shouldn't say all, but most of the Christian publishing companies now, Zondervan, Baker, Kregel, I'm not sure about all of them, Word, most of those publishing companies are now owned by secular companies. And you know why they're owned by them? To make money. Are they going to be careful about the kind of books they publish? Or are the books they publish going to be influenced by the issue of, we are here to make money? But you know, as I think about entrusting the Bible, the sacred word of God, I was thinking about this, about the whole issue of the Bible issue today is not mainly an issue of translation, it's an issue of preservation. Did you know that the two men behind the modern Greek text of Westcott and Hort in 1881, from which all the new Bibles are published, do you know what Westcott and Hort believed about the sacred word of God? Westcott said this: no one, I suppose, holds that the first three chapters of Genesis give us a literal history. This is what Westcott said. I suppose there's no one believes that the first three chapters of Genesis are literal history. Do you know what Hort said? He said, and of course, this is 1860s, 70s, 80s. He said, the book that has most engaged me is Darwin's book. I must work out and examine the argument in more detail, but at present my feeling is strong that the theory is unanswerable. Now let me ask a question. Do you think that this verse applies to that? Give not that which is holy unto dogs. Those who have a little sense of discernment of that which is holy. How about this? Leviticus chapter 10. If you don't know, and the point number one is, the whole new Greek text behind the new translations versus the old Greek text is the Westcott Hort Greek text, period. Number two, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, Leviticus 10:1, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense therein, and offer strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Give not that which is holy unto dogs. Nadab and Abihu lacked a sense of the holy. They lacked a sense of the sacred. And they, in their lack of sense of the knowledge of the holy, approached God with strange fire. In other words, fire that was not described in the Bible. Offerings are not described in the Bible. And they dared worship and approach God with it. And God struck them dead. They are these that represent the dogs and the pigs. No sense of the sacred. No sense of the holy. We're living in that day, aren't we? We're living in that day in which people who have little knowledge of the holiness of God, of the purity of God, have no reservations, no qualms, no inhibitions to worship Him with the very kind of music that is presented to Satan or calls demons. There's no sense of the holiness. There's no sense of the sacredness of a holy God. I had a friend of mine was saved in Singapore out of Buddhism. He came to America to a Bible college in Florida. Opening meetings in a church. He went to the pastor. He says, I can't come here to school. You're using the same music that I used as a Hindu, as a Buddhist, to call the demons. You're using that same music now to address God. A lack of the understanding of the holiness of God. The gospel. What is Galatians chapter 1? Galatians chapter 1. It says, verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you, and they would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As I say before, I say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. The gospel, the message of salvation. Here were those who dared mess with the message of the gospel. You know, there's a new messing with the gospel today. If you study your Bible, I wish I could just give you the verse right off the top of my head, but in the Bible, the gospel is not only the message of how to be saved, but it includes the mandate to live for Jesus Christ. But today, the word gospel is being used as a message that says, it doesn't really matter how you live. It doesn't really matter what the Bible says about separation, about right and wrong, and about right doctrine. It doesn't really matter. All that matters is, they say, the gospel. As though you can divorce the gospel from the Bible. We live in a day of sincere, misguided lack of the understanding of the sacred. The ministry. The ministry. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 2. It says, in the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You know, the leadership of the church must be held by people who have a knowledge of the holy, who have a sense of the difference between the sacred and the secular. The ministry must be led by those who have a deep sense of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. When you give the ministry to people with secular thinking, you've just destroyed the pearl. You've just thrown the pearl to the pigs. And they'll treat it like anything else. In Exodus, they were looking for 70 men who could help Moses judge the people. In Exodus 18:21. And it says, look out among you men who fear God. We have this attitude today. Oh, those old guys, they're just fuddy-duddy. They're just fuddy-duddy. You know, they just have this real fuddy-duddy view. Come on, give us a break. I'm afraid that fuddy-duddy view is steeped in an old-fashioned fear of the Lord versus a looseness just to interpret your life from your own self. The ministry, this church, the leadership of this church must remain in the hands of those who fear God, who have a knowledge of the holy, who don't dare tread on holy ground as though it were secular ground. You know, it's interesting that if you study the Bible, people that were called to the ministry, like Isaiah, before the Lord said, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Guess what? Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he said, "Woe is me, I am undone." He met a holy God. Ezekiel chapter 1. He saw the glory of the Lord. And we have these chapters talking about the wheels and the fire and the glory of God. And he says, and he fell down on his face before God. And then God said, "Go, I have set you to be a watchman unto the house of Israel." He had a knowledge of the holy. The great need today is for people to get a sense of the holy God of heaven and be struck by His greatness and be broken by His holiness and be stirred with a sense of obligation to represent Him. We have today a ministry that has been put in the hands of the secular. You know, a great university. You will probably know who I'm talking about. Its motto was something like fighting for the old time religion. Well, that says a message, doesn't it? Fighting for the old time religion. I hired a secular advertising agency to promote the college. And they said, "Nope, the old one won't work. We need a new one." And this is told to me by a board member of the college. "We need a new one. How about the world's most unusual university?" That appeals to a broader spectrum of people. That old message, I like the old one. I like the old one. Don't give that which is holy unto the dogs. You know, churches fail. You know what they do? They say, "Let's have some businessmen run our church." Well, I'm not against businessmen. And they have a lot more sense than politicians. Praise the Lord. But the church isn't a business. It's a holy ministry. It has to be based on the fear of God. Education. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. I'm just wondering, where would this fit? What do you think about Christians letting the heathen educate their kids? Their most valuable possession. The most sacred thing on this earth, the minds of children. Now I'm going to get probably go beyond what is acceptable. Give not that which is holy unto dogs. We have a new movement in Christian education called accreditation. And I understand what it's all about. I mean, there's two aspects of it. It's difficult for a Christian young person without an accredited degree to exist in this world. But I also know that you have a problem when you put the education that includes Bible education for the ministry under the regulation of secular minds. Give not that which is holy unto dogs. You see, dogs don't understand spiritual things. They don't have a value system. Now notice it says, lest they come back and trample you. Because there's a warning. These things can come back and bite us. And there may well be a day that these things will come back and bite us. I believe that these are the days that they're already coming back to bite us. You know, let's put it this way. When should the church get its thinking from the world? And young person, where should you get your thinking from? Should you get your thinking from a world that treats the holy the same way as they treat the profane? Should you be exposing your mind to books, magazines, music that has no knowledge of the holy? But treats it just as though it were nothing or trash? See, there's a solemn warning here. There's a solemn warning here for all of us. You know, Jesus didn't expand on this. He just plopped this big one right in the middle of these two sections. We live in a world that trampled down our Savior. Treated Him like worse than a criminal. We still live in that world, don't we? On the other hand, we need to be aware of the fact that we need to get into the holy presence of God. So that we are more than people that know about God, we need to be people that know God. And to know God is to know His holiness. To know God is to walk away from that with a sense of a fear of God that cannot be put into words. A fear of evil. A hatred of that which is evil. A fear to disobey God. You know, the modern theologians have tried to take away the fear of God. They say, oh, it's just the awe of God. No, it's the fear of God. Read your Old Testament. After Nadab and Abihu got struck down, they just weren't in awe of God. They feared to go on ground that they weren't supposed to go on and play games with it. And yet, today we live in a day in which we have to really be careful, because this sense of familiarity and commonness and secularism is pervading all around this. I feel it in my own soul. And we need to get to know God better. We need to get to know God better. We need to get to know the real God of the Bible. And if and when we do, it gives us a very serious value system. It gives us a very sense of the evil of evil, and a very sense of that which is right in the sight of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And in this day, Lord, in which the things of God are just becoming so commonplace, in which holy living has become so strange and different, in this day in which secular thinking has invaded the house of God and the things of God, Lord, we need your mercy, lest we are swept along with it. And Lord, all around us are all these avenues to go lower and lower. And Lord, help us to be careful. Help us to be careful. Lord, help us to be careful of those who lack that discernment and lack that value system. Help them, Lord, not to be the molders of our thinking. Help us not to entrust to them the sacred things of God. But Lord, may we be faithful to you in these last days. And Lord, may we desire to know you so that we can be like you. And not only will we like you, Lord, in holiness, but we will be like you and our passion for bringing the lost to salvation as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.